Waka. Hello, I'm Bea Nicole, and this is Buried on the Tundra. I wish to acknowledge that I record this podcast on the ancestral land of the Yupik Chupik people. I acknowledge this is not only in thanks to the indigenous communities who have held relationships with the land for generations, but also in recognition of the historical and ongoing legacy of colonialism. Additionally, I acknowledge this as a point of reflection for all of us as we work towards dismantling colonial practices. Welcome back to Buried on the Tundra. This is Season 2, Episode 1, Bush Plane Hijackings. Aviation plays a significant role in the life of almost all Alaskans. Flying is the most popular mode of transportation in the state. One out of every 58 Alaskans is a registered pilot. Out of that, one out of 59 pilots own their own plane. In 2015, there were 10,378 active pilots. More than 1% of the state's population has some level of certification, which is 3.6 times higher than the national average. There are 4 times the number of airports per square mile, because most of Alaska is only accessible by air and water. To better understand how these occur, you need to understand how bush flights work. Well, if you're in a hub city, you go to the airport about 45 minutes before your flight and check in. When riding on a smaller plane, you're usually allowed 100 pounds of luggage. Most people who live in a village will use their 100 pounds to bring in groceries in cardboard boxes or totes. Once the airline weighs your bags and tags them, similar to the bigger airlines, you must give them your weight, or step on the baggage scale. Now, this isn't a time to give your driver's license weight. Airlines need the closest amount to make sure that the plane is balanced. Normally, they won't let you have a carry-on item. Some airlines will allow you to hold onto backpacks or diaper bags while you wait, and then when you get on the plane, you have to put that item behind a tarp in the back of the plane on a caravan. Once you've checked in, you wait. And wait. And wait. Why? Because flying in bush Alaska depends on weather, plane availability, sunlight, and available pilots. There are times where I've waited minutes for a plane, 2 days for a plane. You know it's time when the pilot announces the name of the village you're going to, along with "please meet the pilot by the door." The pilot will have a manifest, and he will either call off names or ask for your name. Once everyone has been accounted for, the pilot will lead you out to the tarmac. You heard that right. Straight out the door, no TSA searches. You either squeeze into a 4-seater, 5-seater, or you might get lucky and get a little bit more space in a caravan, which should seat about 9 or 8. You buckle up, and away you go. Now, how do you get out of the village? There's no airport terminals. There's just a gravel runway and a hangar. To get out of a village, you call the designated agent for the airline you're traveling with. The agents are different in each village for each airline. The agent is a local person who is the contact between the village and their Bethel base. They will communicate weights of both passengers and luggage to the base, The agents also meet the plane to get cargo from the arriving plane and to give information to the pilot. You will give the agent your weight, how many bags you have, and their weight, and a number to call. The agent will call you when the plane has about 20 minutes to arrive. You walk up to the airport with your bags, and the pilot and the agent will unload and load the next plane. On the afternoon of July 7th, 2021, a Ryan Airlines flight had departed Bethel for the village of Antioch. During the flight, Jaden Lake Kammerhoff, 18, asked the pilot if he could sit in the co-pilot's seat and to fly the plane. The pilot refused both requests. The trooper's report alleges that Lake Kammerhoff got up from his second row seat and into the Cessna's co-pilot seat at 2:44 p.m. while the plane was en route. Lake Kammerhoff pushed forward on the yoke, forcing the plane into a 500-foot nosedive. The pilot pushed Lake Kammerhoff back, and the passengers grabbed him. Eventually, the passengers were able to hold him down and fly the last 5 miles to Antioch. All six souls landed safely in Antioch. The state troopers arrested Lake Kammerhoff in Antioch. Lake Kammerhoff later stated that he was trying to end his life when he took control of the plane. Lake Kammerhoff was charged with second-degree terroristic threatening, 5 counts of attempted first-degree assault, and 4 charges of third-degree assault. This isn't the first time a teen has been in trouble for hijacking a plane in the Delta. On January 31, 2019, a 4-minute flight from Napakiak to Bethel turned frightful. The Ute Air flight had just taken off when a 16-year-old passenger sitting in the co-pilot seat grasped the yoke of the Cessna 207. The plane began to climb, then dove towards the ground. A female passenger sitting behind the co-pilot grabbed the 16-year-old boy by the neck and pulled him away from the yoke. The pilot corrected the plane and the flight returned to Napakiak. The teenager was detained by the village police officer, but escaped. The following day, the police located the teen in Bethel and arrested him. Due to his age, his name has never been released. Ute made a statement after the incident saying that there was no way to disable the flight controls from the co-pilot seat. Also, they would still be allowing passengers to sit in that seat. Ute has mostly 207s. They might have something a little smaller, so they have to put somebody in the co-pilot seat for most of their planes, if not all. This allows them to put at least 5 people in the plane, which, depending on which village, can be anywhere from $60 to $200 one way. You can find case pictures, source materials, and a case map showing you the locations of each of the villages I've talked about, go to buriedonthetundra.com. You can follow me on Facebook at Buried on the Tundra. You can also follow me on Instagram at Buried on the Tundra Podcast. Like, subscribe, review the podcast on whatever platform you're using. Next week's episode, we're going to talk about the Yukon River Drifter, Gerald Harrison. If you'd like to suggest a case, please send an email to buriedonthetundra@gmail.com. Warmest wishes from the coldest state.